Hey, this is Chris Black. Thanks for listening to the Black and Abdallah podcast, brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is WMVP Chicago, ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Woo! All righty.
We going with,
here we go.
We got a little thing. You gonna play it?
What do you want? You want to, is this, I don't think this is breaking news worthy. This is the, here, we need a sounder for when we know that news will break at a later date and time.
Okay.
A sounder for the breaking news sounder.
Okay.
That's what we need.
I love the announcement of the upcoming announcement.
See, that's what Waddle Sylvie used to do with hot NFL chatter. Because it was like, this is newsworthy.
But the people don't know what we're even talking about.
News.
Like, there's something that, like, so Matt Nagy is speaking right now on Zoom with the Chicago Bears beat reporters.
Mm-hmm. The scribes.
The latest information to come out from Matt Nagy is he wanted to clarify something for everyone who is following along. So should I play what he said on Saturday about naming a quarterback?
Yes.
So the quarterback battle is going on. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. If you want to talk football, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Matt Nagy on Saturday said this.
With naming a quarterback, that's something internally that we're going to stick to. But I would say for you guys to know, just to save you the questions, that won't be happening before that game.
So yeah, you won't know.
Hold up, wait a minute.
But tonight.
Y'all thought Nagy was finished.
There's more.
Matt Nagy has taken that back.
What? Taking it back? Where's he taking it?
Taking it back. He's taking it back.
So he announced a quarterback tonight?
No.
Oh.
He clarified his statement.
Oh.
And said that he will not announce a quarterback this week.
Hmm.
He will likely announce it Monday or Wednesday of next week. So leading into game one, he will tell, because, you know, once... If you don't understand, like, we know the Bears' schedule once they get into a season, right? So Monday, you always have the day after Sunday press conference, and that's usually just Matt Nagy. And then Tuesday's the off day, and then Wednesday is when you start getting the ramp up for the next that Sunday's game. So you get the quarterback talking, you get maybe another player. Tuesday or Thursday, you get maybe a couple coordinators talking, and Nagy. Friday, Nagy talks one more time. No availability Saturday, game on Sunday, right?
Yeah, that's a normal week.
That's a normal week. So what they're doing is, not this week, next week begins a normal week.
Right.
So on Monday, when he comes out for his press conference, he'll be like, guess what? Blanky, blank by blank is the starter.
Okay, so, and a lot of this has to do, the timing of this has to do because those in the building will know who the starter is because someone's got to take the first reps. You can't be splitting up reps.
But
the adage, I know this is a new show in this time slot, but the old adage for our show is that if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. If you're splitting up the reps in practice, you are doing a detriment to your team. So at some point here, internally, they're going to have to announce a quarterback and give him the reps. And what happens then is that leaks out, and then you find out. And Matt Nagy's aware of this because the moment they decide to do this, we are going to find out somehow, some way. Adam Schefter, Jeff Darlington will be tweeting out. Ian Rappaport, they will be tweeting out what is taking place at Hallis Hall.
However, the only way that that happens, right, if there's a leak in the boat, right? If there's a rat amongst them, right? Because there's no availability. You're not going to the media is not going.
The leak out wouldn't be because the media is available.
That's what I'm saying.
Leak out because someone told someone.
Well, why is there a leak?
That is the NFL.
Loose lips.
Come on. No.
Loose lips.
NFL ships keep moving. It doesn't matter.
Loose lips.
Just win football games. But I will say this. Can we give a tip of the cap take our football helmet off to Tom Waddle? I mean, isn't this exactly what he called on Waddle and Sylvie today?
I said Wednesday. He said Monday. No, we said the same thing.
He said his brain was in a pretzel because he didn't understand how they could be preparing for a game week without naming a starter like this. That's exactly his take from earlier today.
A tip of the smelling salts.
Tip of the football helmet, the 85 Bear football helmet to Tom Waddle. It's the final countdown. So we know when the football quarterback competition is going to end.
So Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday? He'll announce it, right? If it leaks, he'll have to announce it Monday.
Schefter, force his hand. Give it to us Sunday.
Here's what I want to know. Does it help Trubisky that Nagy has recanted his statement and he will now name a quarterback Monday or Wednesday?
No.
Does it help him?
I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think Matt Nagy realized that, oh, wait, I can't actually keep this secret until the day.
Okay,
the
let me ask you a second question. Does it hurt Nick Foles he's waiting until Wednesday or the Monday if it leaks early?
No. Does it help? Same exact response. In fact, Eric could just replay you what I said to you because I don't think it matters.
Does it hurt Trubisky if Nagy is having to do this recanting? It's the final
countdown. I'm just happy that we're actually going to find out who's going to be starting against the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
This is great.
Well, I mean, you were going to find out. Did you not think that you were going to would you think that you were going to turn on the TV next Sunday and both of them were going to be out there in helmets?
No, but I just didn't want it to be this whole...
They're on the sideline. Hold on, I got one right here. They're on the sideline and Nagy goes, all right, well...
You're flipping a coin in the studio.
Tails? Trubisky tails. That's how we're going to go with it. All right.
I just think that... I just didn't want this to go on and on and on all week. And then it'd be like, okay, we're watching Fox NFL Sunday. Here are the inactives. Oh, and by the way, Mitch Trubisky is starting at quarterback. Now, let's pick a guy and let's prepare to win some football games. Is that possible?
Yeah, it'd be nice.
A lot of people are getting wrapped up in the quarterback competition in choosing one guy or the other. You know what's most important?
Kicker competition.
No. Stop. We're not doing that here.
The people on Twitch want us to talk about it. It's the final
countdown. So we're going to have to do a final countdown for the kicker competition, too?
Your dad is in the chat saying, what about the kicker competition?
He is trolling.
He is a concerned season ticket holder.
I think my dad is marking Batavia.
And I feel like
his
concerns need to be addressed and taken seriously. Especially by his son.
You took the bait.
Take the bait? What bait? It's all over the place.
This team needs to win football games. I was going to say the most important thing heading into this season.
If people in the Twitch are baiting me about this kicker competition, they are masters at it right now.
They're doing what to you?
Baiting me.
Can we say that?
I said baiting.
I'm just throwing this out there. This Bears season, you have to get off to a good start.
Yeah.
We can't be messing around with kickers. We can't have two quarterbacks before the Lions game, splitting snaps.
But Chris, the Trubisky media elite will have you know.
Media elite.
Trubisky tweeters elite. It does. It's just the tweeters. It's not media. The Trubisky tweeters elite. The Alliance of Trubisky Truthers will have you know that if he is going to start a game, it should be against the Lions, as if Trubisky can beat one team and one team only, it is the Lions. He's built to beat the Lions.
A couple things. I'm not even going to respond to that because it's so silly. We're going to hear from Matt Nagy here in just a second. We're going to talk to Jordan Reed from the Draft Network, get prepped for some rookie quarterbacks heading into the NFL. That conversation's coming up in about 5 minutes here on ESPN 1000. We have a lot of good NFL coverage over the next couple of nights heading into next week. Mm-hmm. We're 8 shows away from the start of the football season. So each night at 7:35, we're going to have a segment called Back to Football Week, where we preview something different, either in the NFL, the Chicago Bears, whatever the case may be. Tonight, we are going to do a 2019 Bears season in review.
Oh, and what a season it was.
Well, what I found interesting, before we get to Matt Nagy is when you actually go through game by game and try and figure out what the H happened last year, I think it's pretty easy to figure it out. And I will be surprised if one guy will be quarterback heading into this season, because back to my thesis statement, you cannot get off to a slow start in this year and waste away this defense for another season. He can't do it. Here's Matt Nagy just a couple moments ago updating us on when he will name a starter at the quarterback position.
I guess I misinterpreted what I meant by that in regard. I would never have a quarterback or try to. First of all, I don't think it would ever work because it just wouldn't. But what I meant by that, to keep it real simple, was that there was not going to be a quarterback named this week that we're in right now up until that first week. So I apologize if I'm made that gray, but yes, there will be no waiting until the middle of the week or the end of the week until that to happen. That wouldn't be fair to our team, and it wouldn't be fair to the quarterbacks.
So do you plan to name one on Monday or Wednesday of next week?
That's honestly, Jason, that's completely right now. We don't know that, but it would be, in that time frame there somewhere. I mean, you will know by the time most teams usually know.
Okay.
We're not hiding anything. I think we're going through right now for us this whole process, and we don't even know that yet, to be quite honest. So we're talking through like those situations and what's best and how to go about it. So we're just really honestly not there yet.
When do most teams figure out their starting quarterback situation? We'll figure it out like when most teams do. What? This does not give me confidence at all heading into the year.
Play the beginning of his little – play the beginning again.
Guess I misinterpreted what I meant by that in regard.
He misinterpreted what he meant by that. Now, I know it's probably just slipped, but
guess I misinterpreted what I meant by that.
Did you hear the sigh halfway through where he was like, I was kind of – gray on that. What his head is hurting already.
Dude, I'm telling you. And this is not pro or con either
this
way. You
good.
Take this what it is, but I'm telling you that one of the quarterbacks is messing with that dude's mind. Like the fact that he's not getting it, the fact that he's had to deal with him for 2 years now, and he's still not getting it, and he's still struggling in practice. But great defensive performance by Kyle Fuller. He's still not getting it. It's just like, just say what you want to say.
Man.
You know who's starting.
But
just
what if the other guy doesn't look good either? And it's causing him to even more.
I know is that when I was on Instagram and I saw Bears video, I know what quarterback was featured. That's from the team.
Who did they feature?
Foles.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
We're talking football here on Black and Abdallah, ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We're just a little over a week away from the kickoff, Texans and Chiefs, to get the NFL season started. I'm pumped up, Abdallah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's full. I can't believe it's like 10 days away. Like, it's crazy.
Great. Yeah, it is.
It's crazy because I'm still not in football mode because of so many other things going on. But to see the little bit of college football we got on Saturday, I was like, okay, I'm ready.
So let's get into football mode. That's what we're going to do on the show each night this week. We're going to start getting prepped for the NFL season. Now we talk with Jordan Reed from the Draft Network. He does great work there. You can follow him on Twitter at JReedNFL. And Jordan, as we bring you into the conversation, want to take a look at some of these rookies heading into the NFL season with their new teams. Let's start with the number one overall pick. What are the Cincinnati Bengals getting with Joe Burrow, the number one pick in the draft from last year?
Well, definitely a lot, guys. A team that definitely has a huge need at quarterback. They really haven't had a really good one since the glory days of Carson Palmer and Andy Dalton. But I think with Joe Burrow, you're getting a supreme leader. I think that's the first thing that stands out with him. You already see the buzz in training camp of just the overglowing reviews about him. And whenever you galvanize a team and you walk through the door and be a team captain, at LSU, a program like LSU, which is a blue blood program and one of the best across the country, and then go 15-0 during your basically your first year as a full-time starter. And I think that's absolutely huge. And I think the Bengals just need some type of pulse at that position. They just haven't had a leader in a very long time. They haven't had a sense of hope either. And I think that's the first sign of a franchise quarterback, if he just gives you a sense of hope. And I think Joe Burrow does do that.
What about Tua for the Dolphins? What, is he going to be able to win that job, and is he going to be able to perform given his injury history and what he came back from to get onto the field this season?
Well, he's in a little bit of a different situation just because he has a veteran in front of him, and Joe Burrow is expected to be the week one starter. Everybody knows that. But with Ryan Fitzpatrick in Miami, they basically can play it slow with Tua. And I think he's in the, that was a bit of a blessing in disguise for him, just because with the hip injury, and we know durability concerns and issues that he does have, they basically can slow play Tua. They don't have to force him out there. We know Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to bring you some highs and lows associated with this game, but he's going to have some magic moments as well that I think is going to keep Tua on the bench for until they're ready, in a sense. But I think that's a really good situation for Tua. But he brings a lot of things to the table. Another guy that is a supreme leader, multi-time team captain. But I think the biggest thing that he brings to the table is just how accurate he is. That's the one thing that stands out the most about Tua Tagovailoa.
Jordan, when you were prepping for the NFL draft, where did you stand on these two individuals? Because both Adam and me, we were both looking at Tua, suggesting that the upside and his ability to in his completion percentage in college at Alabama was just too high of an upside to pass up for someone like Joe Burrow. We both love Tua Tagovailoa. How did you rank those two guys heading into the draft?
Well, obviously, they were the top two quarterbacks on my board, but just the way that Joe Burrow improved a year ago, I mean, it's hard to keep him from being the top quarterback. And whenever you go in and you have those type of accomplishments, even though it was for a bit of a flash in the pan year for 1 year, over 60 touchdowns, and he broke basically every single SEC record, you have to have that guy as your top quarterback just because the upside is phenomenal. You really think he's going to get better. He's just scratching the surface of what he can be. So he's improved so much during his time at LSU. And I say this to everybody that I talk to about Joe Burrow. Yeah, I believe it was the end of the 2018 season. He took a big hit in the bowl game when LSU played Central Florida. He took a big hit on a pick six. And it just seemed like that hit hypnotized him, and he was a completely different player after that. And we haven't seen that player prior to that big hit, just because coming into last year, he was rated as a fifth-round pick. But after that, he ends up being the number one overall pick. So Joe Burrow, he definitely was the consensus top quarterback. But if Tua was able to stay healthy for a full year last year, I think he would have made it a very interesting debate.
One of the most electrifying players in college football last year was Chase Young. He's been getting rave reviews in Washington's camp so far. He said he feels about 97% from his hip injury. How great of an impact can he make in his first year on the field?
No, I think he's going to be a 10-plus sack guy as a rookie easily, especially with that defensive front that they do have. And they're stacking up former first-rounders, whether it's Jonathan Allen, Deron Payne, and some of the other guys that they do have down there. I think they have one of the best defensive lines and front sevens in all of football. That defensive line is absolutely loaded. I talked about those three guys already, including Chase Young. They have a very underrated player in Matt Ioannidis, who I think is by far one of the most underrated players in the NFL. And then you have the old Wiley vet and Ryan Kerrigan. That's on the opposite side as well, coming off of the edge. So he's going to have an opportunity to put up some big numbers just because they can double team him. And if they do end up double teaming him, they're going to free up somebody else. So I think he's in a really good situation to be a double digit type of sack guy as a rookie.
Jordan Reed from the Draft Network, getting us ready for the NFL season. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. The Cardinals last year defensively were not very good. They were 28th in opponents' yards per play. Isaiah Simmons was drafted 8th overall from Clemson, the linebacker, to the Cardinals. What did you see from Simmons on tape, and what do you think he'll add to the Cardinals this season?
Well, I think the versatility. That's the first thing that stands out about him. Obviously, he's played every single position outside of interior defensive lineman when he was at Clemson. But I think the thing that makes him so unique is that you can't really peg him at one position. So he's listed as a safety, and there's some people that list him as a linebacker, but I think you can play him at both areas. But something that did worry me a little bit, but I think it kind of was just coach speak. And Cliff Kingsbury was saying that they're just playing him at inside linebacker right now. But I think, like I said, that was just coach speak, just because they don't really want to reveal where they're playing him. And I think they're going to use him all over the field. And I think Arizona, they have some sneaky good pieces on defense. I'm ready to see Byron Murphy in year two. They're going to transition him to the slot. Chandler Jones, obviously, is a stud. And they have some other guys on the defense. Patrick Peterson is coming back from a full year Now that he had a suspension from last year, the six-game suspension, he's going to play a full year this year, and he's entering a contract year, so he's going to be hungry. They just paid Buda Baker and made him the highest-paid safety in the NFL, so I'm really excited to see how this defense does mesh together.
No, you know what's interesting about that, Jordan, is you mentioned the not wanting to say what position he's at, and I know around football, the hybrid role defensively is starting to become more in vogue. Are there any comps that come to mind with Isaiah Simmons on players that you've seen in the past?
That's the good thing about him, just because I think he's a freak of nature, and I don't think he's like anything that we ever seen before. And that's the thing about Isaiah. You can't really – he's kind of a mixture of a whole bunch of players, but what does make it kind of a two-way street with him is that you kind of have to allow him to focus on one position, just because we've seen players that have had his athletic upside and then basically have been a positionless player before. Mark Barron and Obi Melifonwu come to mind as guys that you have to figure out a certain position to play. Otherwise, they're just going to be these guys that are bouncing out around the league and just eventually flame out. That's why I said you eventually have to find a position for him, allow him to focus on that. Then once he gets comfortable with that, then you start to put a little bit more on his plate.
I'm looking at ESPN.com right now, and there's a headline, "The Next Great 88, Dallas Cowboys CeeDee Lamb Proving All the Hype is Legit." What can a weapon like CeeDee Lamb add to that Cowboys offense?
He's a stud, man. That's the easiest way I can put it. I'm really excited to see.
I couldn't believe he was there for the Cowboys when he went.
I think that was one of the biggest surprises of the first round, in my opinion. I was really surprised that he wasn't the first receiver taken. If you would have told me, if I was a betting man, I would have betted that he would be the first receiver off the board, especially what he showed during his junior year last year. I was absolutely floored that he went as the third receiver drafted, I believe it was, after Ruggs and Judy. So I think he's probably not going to have a huge role during his rookie year, just because there's so many mouths to feed with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup, who's a very underrated receiver, being ahead of him on a totem pole. But I think as the year goes along, I think they're going to put a little bit more on his dock, and he's probably going to increase his reception totals and receiving yards as the year goes along. But initially, I think he might get off to a slow of a start, just because he has those two guys ahead of him.
Jordan Reed from the Draft Network talking football with Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. A player that we both were talking about on the air a lot before the NFL draft was Jalen Hurts. He's made some news because he's gotten a lot of reps in Eagles camp because Carson Wentz has been sidelined at times throughout training camp. What were your thoughts about the Eagles selecting Jalen Hurts?
I think this was probably the biggest shock of any draft pick throughout the draft, just because I wish I could show you guys. I actually have a video of my reaction after they selected him. My mouth was absolutely on the ground after they did it. But as I thought about it, it makes total sense, just because this is a team that won a Super Bowl based on the insurance that they had at quarterback. And Jalen Hurts has been through a situation where he's been insurance when he backed up Tua Tagovailoa when he ultimately lost his job. And he saved the day for those guys in the 2018 SEC championship game against Georgia. So he's not – this situation – for him is not foreign to him. So I think Jalen is fully comfortable with playing that backup role initially. And we know Carson Wentz still hasn't played a 16-game season to date. So the Eagles knew that they needed this type of insurance. And I think Jalen Hurts is a really good project to sit back and really just lay in the weeds just in case Carson Wentz does get injured. And I think he's nursing a lower back injury right now, if I'm not mistaken. So that just goes to show you that you have to have that type of high-quality insurance behind Carson Wentz. And I think Jalen Hurts definitely brings that to the table.
The Bears drafted two guys that are going to be thrown into the fire right away. What can Cole Kmet do that fits Matt Nagy's system that he wants to run? Will he be able to fit into that system? And then Jalen Johnson, is he going to be someone that the Bears can rely on? Because given their depth at that position, he's going to have to be in there from day one.
Yeah, the Bears, they really like stocking tight ends. They have a plethora of those guys in the tight end room. So I think Kmet definitely is the guy that probably has the most upside. And they're gonna throw him out there right away, just because Nagy, he likes to use the tight ends. That's why they've taken big swings on, even though the Trey Burton experiment didn't work out. But they like to have the tight end as that security blanket in the offense, and they like to utilize it. But Cole Kmet, he really isn't a field stretcher or anything like that. I compare him to Kyle Rudolph a lot. He has a very similar skill set. And if you think about Rudolph, he isn't going to be a blazer or anything like that. But if you need a big catch or you need a guy to go to on third down, I definitely think he can be that. He's not going to win a whole bunch of foot races either. But as far as being that security blanket when you need him the most, he definitely can be that. He does have some work to do as a blocker, but I think over time you can teach him some techniques and then some nuances of being a run blocker, and I think he'll be just fine. Now, on the opposite side of the ball, now with Artie Burns out with a season-ending injury, Jalen Johnson is expected to step in right away. So I think he's probably the guy that they're going to count on the most out of this rookie class. But I really like Jalen Johnson. Very physical, a cornerback prospect, very fluid. But the thing that worries you about him the most, obviously, is the injuries. He's had three shoulder surgeries already, and I think that's one of the biggest reasons why he ended up being a second-round pick as opposed to the first-round buzz that he had initially.
If things don't work out well for the Bears this season and they somehow draft Trey Lance, what's the early scout on a Trey Lance as you prepare for next year's draft?
You put me on the spot. Trey, he's a very interesting case, and I just have to be kind of careful with one-year starters. I get a little bit worried about that just because we've seen Mitch Trubisky is a great example of a guy that was just a one-year starter. You guys are very familiar with him. So it's unfortunate that we won't see Trey play a full season this year. They're going to play the one-game showcase against Central Arkansas on October 3rd, I believe it is, which obviously is going to be a nationally televised game. But very, very talented individual, I will say that about him. Has all the arm strength that you're looking for. Fantastic leader. Started as a redshirt freshman. Went 16-0. He had 48 total touchdowns, I believe it is, to zero interceptions. He didn't have any turnovers at all last year. So very careful with the football, but he's a risk taker, very competitive. You like to see him slide a little bit more than what he does. He likes throwing his body around a little bit. But, I mean, he has all the buzz right now. And even if he doesn't play well in that one showcase game, I think he's going to be a top 10 to 15 pick without question. And we all see every year that these quarterbacks rise just because of the supply and demand at the position. So even if he doesn't play well, still see him going in the top 10 or top 15.
Thank you, Jordan. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me.
That's Jordan Reed from the Draft Network. Follow him on Twitter at JReedNFL. We continue previewing for the NFL season. Our Back to Football Week continues next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
We're about eight shows away from the start of the football season.
Seven and a half, really.
This week, next week, Thursday night when we're on the air, we'll have kickoff in the NFL. It'll be fantastic.
It's gonna be glorious.
Can't wait. Before we get to this segment, we are going to highlight something each night at 7:35, previewing the NFL season. It's called our Back to Football Week. I know that it's actually technically 2 weeks, but since we have eight shows, I'm stretching it. So we're just going to call it a week. And it sounds better than Back to Football Weeks, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, it's incorrect, but I...
Well, it's Back to Football
Week.
That's why
I was wondering. You texted me and you're like, hey, I've got something.
We got eight shows.
Let's do this. I mean, you could have just called it Back to Football. You didn't need the week in
there.
Well,
I mean, it's like, listen...
You could have just said Back to Football. We're going to do a segment called Back to Football.
It's really not even eight shows because we're going to get bumped for a playoff game in one of the next couple nights. So, like, the 7:35 segment's going to be a secret podcast we're going to release. So don't tell anyone, but we're still going to do the segment. We're just going to post it to the podcast and won't actually be on. So, like seven. So seven's a week.
Right.
Boom.
And let's be honest right now. Time is a flat circle.
Yeah,
so basically over, and then you know the last one doesn't count.
Oh,
so we really have only got like three shows left until football. So I'm just doing it in my head. We only have like three shows left until football.
Is that kind of like how I would kind of visualize Christmas when I was a kid? I'd be like, well, we got two weekends, and then there's only three sleeps.
Yeah, you don't count
the
weekends.
And then after the three sleeps, I've got a basketball game.
I mean, really, I'm already in bed, so that doesn't count.
Yeah, right.
Like, tonight doesn't count.
And next thing I know, it'll be Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve doesn't count because
it's a vacation day.
That's it.
All right.
I used to do that with Whitney and with my wife when she's counting down to the end of the school year. And I'm like, well, I mean, you know, like spring break's over. That last day before spring break, no one's really paying attention anyway.
April,
so like, yeah.
Throw it in a bin.
February's short, so don't count that one.
We'll throw an institute day in here.
Yeah.
I guess I misinterpreted what I meant by that.
So earlier tonight, and we will get to this segment. This isn't a bit. I want to get to it, but we should play this. Matt Nagy, about 35 minutes ago, spoke on Zoom to the Bears media, clarifying what he said about the quarterbacks on Saturday.
I guess I misinterpreted what I meant by that in regard. I would never have a quarterback or try to. First of all, I don't think it would ever work because, you know, it just wouldn't. But what I meant by that, to keep it real simple, was that there was not going to be a quarterback named this week that we're in right now, up until that first week. So I apologize if I made that gray. But yes, that's there will be no waiting until the middle of the week or the end of the week until that to happen. That wouldn't be fair to our team, and it wouldn't be fair to the quarterbacks.
So do you plan to name one on Monday or Wednesday of next week?
That's honestly, Jason, that's completely right now. We don't know that, but it would be, in that time frame there somewhere. I mean, you will know by the time most teams usually know.
Okay.
We're not hiding anything. I think we're going through right now for us, this whole process. And, we don't even know that yet, to be quite honest. So we're talking through like those situations and what's best and how to go about it. So we're just really honestly not there yet.
You will know when most teams know. All right, here's our back to football week.
We missed you, football.
Hut, hut, hut!
And then hut! Black and Abdallah.
Oh! Whoa! What a hit!
Best time of year again, back to football.
I watch him, he's going. Hut, hut, hut!
What a catch!
Oh, God!
DeAndre Hopkins!
Oh! I'm excited, man. I'm super excited.
Black and Abdallah.
Domination.
Oh, my goodness!
On ESPN 1000. We missed you, football. And it's great to have you back.
All right, tonight, I still don't know what that means, that we'll know when most teams know with a quarterback, whatever Nagy was talking about there.
So I apologize if I made that gray. I guess I misinterpreted what I meant by that.
Okay. So, Abdallah, tonight's focus, so let's take a look back at the 2019 Bears season, because to go forward, we need to understand what took place in last season. Of course, they went 8-8, but really, when I dove into the box scores and read the game stories this morning, I went through every single one of the 16 games from last season, and there are a few things that stood out to me that it's not that I forgot. It jogged my memory more when I actually went through and figured out why they lost games the way they lost and why they won the games that they did win.
Well, they didn't run the ball enough in a few games. They had bad quarterback play, bad offensive play in a few games. And in a few games, you were like, okay, maybe Trubisky gets this.
Absolutely. So, like, if we kind of go through this, they lose the opener to the Packers 10-3. Then on the road, remember, Trubisky moved the ball down the field late to set up a field goal. The Bears win. They beat the Broncos 16-14. Remember, if you're a pro Bears glass half full person, a lot of people are picking Denver and the Broncos to be a much better team this year. Okay, so then you head to a Monday night game against the Washington football team.
Oh, and man, the truthers were. I don't think
Trubisky was throwing.
Half the city watched that game with their pants off.
Wait. Oh, because Trubisky was lighting it up.
Lighting it up.
Yeah, he threw for 231 and threw for some touchdowns. He was fantastic in that game. Then they bounce back and they win a game against Minnesota.
Mm.
But remember, that game on September the 29th, Trubisky was knocked out early in the first quarter. Chase Daniel went on to lead the Bears to a 16-6 victory.
You won three out of your last four, and you're like, guess what? Now we going to England for a business trip against Oakland. Got this. Oakland is hot trash. And then guess what happened?
It was a mess of a game.
It was awful. They weren't prepared. Chase Daniel had to start that game. He didn't have a horrible game, but he didn't have a great game. And the Bears fell to 3-2 in a game that they should have definitely won. You should have given up 24 points to Oakland.
Remember, a late drive by the Raiders on this Bears defense had people questioning this vaunted Bears defense as they lose to Oakland. They were 3-2 at that point, hanging to the bye. They set up shop for the seventh week of the season against the Saints at home. And the Saints didn't have their quarterback, Drew Brees. Teddy Bridgewater came in here. And if you go back to that game, the way the game kind of fell was that the Bears at halftime were in it. It was 12-10 at halftime. But if you recall, the Saints get a field goal, 6:31 left in the second quarter. Nothing happens the rest of the quarter in the second. You go to halftime, the Saints get the ball back. They score 3 minutes into the third quarter. They score again in the third quarter, and they score again in the fourth, and they kind of roll the Bears. In the second half, the defense could not stop the Saints offense with Teddy Bridgewater throwing for touchdowns, two of them on the day. Trubisky threw for two touchdowns, but basically the entire second half, the Bears were playing from behind in that contest.
But Chris,
and
they put up 15 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they did. That was meaningless at the time because at that point in the game, it was out of reach.
I remember being at that game with you, and I left, and I was like, I'm walking through the concourse to go to the exit, and I'm like, really?
Should I double back?
No. And then I was like, no.
And this is what really set up the stretch of games, which determines how we feel about this Bears season. It's not the 8-8 record. It's not the beating a Minnesota team with their backup quarterback week 17, mm-hmm. or maybe beating the Cowboys and probably the Bears' best performance
great
of the
game.
Year, 31-24 in week 14 on December the 5th. It was the stretch of games where they lost to the Saints, they lose to the Chargers, they lose to the Eagles on the road, they beat the Lions by 7, and then on Sunday Night Football are embarrassed by the Rams. And the two things I would point out with both the Chargers game and the Rams game. The Chargers game had Trubisky in the second half throwing one of the absolute worst interceptions I've ever seen in my life. It was 2nd and 7 from the Bears 35. Trubisky in the shotgun goes deep right, intended for Trey Burton. Trey Burton was never there, intercepted by Hayward at the Charger 43. Hayward saw it the entire time. He knew Mitch was throwing there the moment Mitch said, hut, hut, and the ball snapped back to Mitch Trubisky. I've been going to games for my entire life. That was one of the absolute worst interceptions I've ever seen. It was completely deflating because the Bears at that time had a 16-10 lead, which then the Chargers go on to beat the Bears in that contest. And the thing I would point out in the Rams contest that I didn't quite remember was go back and look at the drives by the Bears in the second half. They score a touchdown early in the third quarter. So it's 10-7. Bears are down by 3. 5:51 in the third. The possessions the Bears have the rest of the way out are this. 3-and-out punt. 3-and-out punt. 5 plays, punt. 3-and-out punt. Loss of downs after 7 plays, end of game. That's how they went out on Sunday Night Football. And we remember, at the time, going 4-6 on the season, the hug, the embrace on the sidelines between Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky.
I guess I misinterpreted what I meant by that.
And so when I look at this season, it really is, to me, the stretch between the Saints, the Rams, the Eagles, the Chargers, and the Lions. That stretch really tells me everything because the Bears go on a 3-game winning streak right after that against the Giants, the Lions, and the Cowboys, but it just was too late.
Well, I also look at the Packers game, the second Packers game, where you know you go into halftime and you end the first half on an interception, but it's still 7-3. Green Bay comes out, scores on their first possession. You know, you turn it over. Green Bay scores again. It's 21-3, right? 21-3. So then the Bears kick a field goal, 21-6. Then Trubisky marches them down the field, 13 plays, 67 yards for a touchdown. There's 5 minutes left. You force Green Bay to punt. You get the ball back. And then 2 plays, 6 yards, interception. And then you force another punt, turnover on downs in 10 plays, 46 yards in 2.5 minutes.
It really, when you go through the script of the games, the defense gave this team every opportunity to be a 10-11 win team, and the offense could not handle it. And that and that's the 2019 season review. I know that to most Bears fans, you'd say, yeah, well, duh, 8-8 is going to turn out that way. But when you go game by game and really dig into it, I mean, that Vikings game at the end, Trubisky had to lead a drive, the final drive of the game for the Bears to score to beat that Vikings team playing a backup quarterback who wasn't even trying to win. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were playing scrubs because they were resting for the playoffs. So, like, there's a lot of things that people kind of forget as we leave one football season and go into the spring and summer. So I thought we should bring it back up. We'll have a White Sox report coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah. Sure.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Thanks to Eric Ostrowski for producing the show. Jordan Reed joined us earlier. Find it on the podcast, Black and Abdallah, on the ESPN Chicago app. You can also download the Baseball Show, as the White Sox right now at the top of three against the Twins are down 3-0. Giolito's had some hard times here at the start of this one, especially in the second. But we spend a lot of time talking about the Chicago Cubs on this program. Abdallah, it's for the bit. Just go with it. So our friend Brian O'Connor is a lifelong White Sox fan, and he gives us a report each week of the Chicago White Sox to make sure we have fair and balanced coverage here on the program. So here is his name is @BroConnor on Twitter. Here's his White Sox report for this week.
Let's go, 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 White Sox!
BroConnor's proud of you!
Thanks, guys. Well, fantastic week for the White Sox. Giolito with the no-hitter and Dane Dunning with 5 no-hit innings of his own as the White Sox beat the lowly Royals this weekend, take the series. You know, isn't that interesting? When the Sox beat a bad opponent, it's, well, the Sox, you know, scraped together a win in the series. But when the Cubs beat the freaking Reds, all of a sudden it's, the 27 Yankees are back! Let's unfurl the banners! Do you know in the history of baseball, only one time has 2 home runs been hit by an outfielder against a terrible freaking team, you know? It's like the Reds. But, you know, no time to worry about that because it's trading deadline day, so you know what that means. Theo's wheeling and dealing, and who's he going to get? And who's he going to... And remember in 2016 when he landed Aroldis Chapman, and it got them the World Series, and who's going to be the Aroldis this year? Well, they got 2 lefties, but is one of them going to close, maybe? But, you know, no, that doesn't matter because old Grandpa Rossi knows the right words. He's a professional manager. He's going to whisper in their ears, and then they're going to magically get... Actually, it's not even going to matter because they're playing the Cardinals every other game for the rest of the year, so 7-inning games, no closers needed. Anyway, thanks for letting me talk about the White Sox.
Let's go, 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 White Sox!
BroConnor's proud of you!
I know he's sweating. Like, I know, I've known Brian since high school. That dude is wet recording that. Like, sweaty.
What's going on in our Twitch chat right now?
Braggs and Faye are arguing about Trubisky. You know, he got an alert that we were going to trash Trubisky. He sent an alert to his phone.
Fox scores. I'm sorry.
The kicker.
Get out of here. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 with Waddle and Sylvie.
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.